Sometimes it's hard to know where the worship stops and the word begins, but it's all one. It's all worship. It's all word. It's why it's so important that the worship songs that you sing line up with the word. Because you've already been preached to in worship if you listen to what you were saying and if you agree with what you sang. Amen. Hallelujah. I love what they were saying, that worship in heaven never stops. We just sometimes join in the choir, join in the singing, join in the presence of the Lord. And I love when His presence are rich and you just feel the anointing and waves just flowing over. And, you know, as they were saying, sometimes something as simple as raising your hands or taking off your shoes is just a matter of submission. Yeah. It's a matter of saying, Lord, here I am. I just submit to you all that I am, all that I have, and all that I ever will be is in your hands. Amen? It's in your hands. I love the picture of Moses because he's really kind of in rebellion on the backside of the desert when God speaks to him. And sometimes we think when we're running away from God, we're not on holy ground. How many of Moses run right into holy ground? You can run all you want to, and you're going to turn around and run right back into him. He's on the backside of the desert keeping the sheep for his father-in-law because he had smote an Egyptian back in Egypt and figured, I'll just hang out here, keep sheep, I'll lay low, you know. And all of a sudden the bush starts to burn and it's not consumed. And all of a sudden God shows right up, right in the midst of your hiding out in the backside of the desert, and he starts to speak. And he starts to tell Moses, you're going to do things that you have no idea and you have no capability to do. Yep. Do you believe God will do that? Speak things to you. I'm going to send you here. I'm going to do this in you. I'm going to provide this in ways that there's no way you can do this on your own. But I am that I am. Yep. God, I need a healing. I am healing. God, I need some restoration. I am the God of restoration. God, I need deliverance out of bondage, out of Egypt. I am your deliverance. I mean, no, he is the I am that I am. All that you need, all that you desire is in the I am God today. Yep. I am your source. I am your provider. I am your El Shaddai. I am your Jehovah Jireh. And I am your omnipotent God. I am your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I am your Savior. I am your healer. I am that I am. Hallelujah. So when we begin to submit to him, I mean, no, that's not always easy. It's not always just easy to say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Flow through me. Speak to me. Anoint me. I mean, no, there's anointing already inside of you. The power of the Holy Spirit already resides in you. You can live out of the flow of the abundant life today. You can live out of the resource of the Spirit and the anointing that not only resides in the house, but the anointing that dwells in you. That Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That means resurrection power dwells in you. If that same Spirit, another translation says, since that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, since that resurrection power dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body, your fleshly body. That same Spirit, that means resurrection power lives in you today. And it will quicken and make alive your mortal physical body. I love that God restores us body, soul, and spirit. Amen. And we're doing a series on that on Wednesday nights. And if you want to join us for that, it is this Wednesday at 6:30 in the multi-purpose room. And we had a great time last Sunday because I believe God wants to minister and restore us body, soul, and spirit. Do you believe that? Yeah. Amen. Somebody say all in. All in. Somebody say momentum. Momentum. Hallelujah. I believe momentum is building. Anybody feel momentum? Yeah. Amen. How many know momentum starts out sometimes with baby steps? Momentum starts out sometimes with the little bits before we get the big, right? Sometimes you just got to put one foot in front of the other. Sometimes you got to get up. Sometimes you got to wash your face. Sometimes you got to get in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Becca shared this morning about the power of worship to change your mindset regardless of where you're going into, yeah. Whether it is into the service or whether it's into work or whether it's into a doctor's appointment or wherever it is. Hallelujah. I get up on Saturday mornings and I say, hey, Alexa, play Tasha Cobbs. Hey, Alexa, play I Will Make Room for You. That's a little more mellow. I Will Make Room for You. If you haven't heard it, listen to it. It's powerful. And that was what I started out with, Lord, yesterday. Lord, I just want to make room for You today. And then I put on a little Tasha Cobbs, and she can throw it down. Come on, somebody. That girl can sing. And so I danced all over my house. I spun in circles, and I washed dishes, and I did all the things that I needed to do yesterday. But I did it with my mind focused on worship, so that whatever I did it in an energized, uplifted state, because I had a lot of things to accomplish yesterday. And so it's just me and Tasha and Jesus and the Holy Spirit in my house. Amen? You do you. You know, you do you. If you don't dance around your house, that's all right. But how many know sometimes it can be those quiet times in your car. It can be those moments of the Word or just some time of reflection where we just make room for God. Say, Lord, I'm just going to make room for You today. And we know that He lives in us. But how many know sometimes you got to clear the clutter? Anybody a spring cleaner? Anybody an organizer just like to clear the clutter? Man, what a feeling it is after you clear out some of that clutter, isn't it? And where you can find, where you can find things again, right? And so we sometimes have to clear the cobwebs and the junk in our head so we can have a time of focus and reflection on the things of the Lord, the things that are important. You know, sometimes we as people, I'll say it like this, we as people borrow trouble from tomorrow. Anybody in the house with me this morning? We borrow trouble from tomorrow. It's not even an issue yet, but we think it could be an issue, so we're going to be sure to worry about it today, so we're ahead of the game. We're an overachiever in our worrying capacity, right? And sometimes we worry about things that haven't even happened, right? And we say, but, oh, what if this happens? What if that? What if it does this? But what if it doesn't? What if God really is who He says He is? What if God really is all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipotent God? And let me just tell you, there is not one situation that has ever been changed by your worry. But I will tell you, there's some situations that have been changed by the power of prayer and the people of God when they stand up and say, not today and not in my house, because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to declare the word of the Lord over the situation, and we're going to decree and speak life, and we're not going to borrow trouble from tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself, but today is the day that the Lord has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to think happy thoughts. Sometimes you got to get rid of the stinking thinking. Sometimes you got to change your mindsets. I mean, if you change your mind, change your heart, you can change situations. And so how we approach them is vitally important to how we face every situation. Do we walk through some things? Oh, yes, we do. But He said, yea, though I walk through. Come on, somebody. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can do it without fear and without evil. Come on, somebody, because I know the shepherd who anoints my head with oil and my cup runneth over. That means when He anoints my head with oil, everything that my eyes see, everything that my ears hear, everything that my mouth speaks, everything that my mind thinks has to come under the anointing of the presence of the anointing because he anoints my head with oil.
Yep.
Hallelujah. And when he anoints the head, how many know it saturates and runs down on every part of your being?
Yep.
He is the good shepherd this morning. Hallelujah. Well, let's see what we got this morning. All in. Anybody in here all in for the things that God wants to do? Hallelujah. We're talking about momentum. We're talking about being all in. Being all in means a surrendered life. Amen? And sometimes it's hard to surrender all. Remember the song, I Surrender All? All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. And we say that and we sing that, but do we do that? I know I can surrender some things, but there are some things that is a tug of war. I give it to him, I take it back. I give it to him, I take it back. Anybody else? Come on. I surrender? No, I don't. It's like he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. How many know he loves you? And in our surrendered life, there's so many times that I think we pray our prayers of what we think we want God to do. And God's saying, if you would just let go of that, I have something better for you. But you won't let go of where you are so that I can take you to where I want to take you.
Yep.
It's kind of like living life between trapezes, right? You have to let go of one trapeze before you can grab the next one, or you're not going to fly. But if I let go of this one, there's a chance that I don't catch that one, and I'm going down in the middle. Anybody? And so sometimes we hold on tight to what we have because it's safe and it's comfortable and it's secure. When God's saying, if you'll just trust me, if you'll just step out on faith, if you'll believe me, I will take you to the next level of where I want to take you. So I want to talk about being all in today. But I also know that this is Valentine's Day weekend. It's also Super Bowl weekend. So I want y'all to cheer today like the Eagles are going to win. I want you to cheer today like Kansas City's going to win. I see where we are today, and we'll work with that. Come on, we can get behind that TV screen. We can get in that stadium, and we can shout and scream. I'm going to tell you, there are going to be people screaming at that stadium, going to make total fools of themselves. But I wonder if they go to church and sing. I wasn't pointing fingers to anybody. But how many know sometimes we get so excited about things that don't matter? Well, I'm going to tell you, your salvation matters. You are on the winning team today, no matter whether you couch quarterbacks win or not. Right? You are on the winning team. We are on the offense. We're not on the defense. How many know we're not defending ourselves constantly against an enemy that's already been defeated? Hallelujah. And I believe we are on the offense. We are on the field. We got the ball, and we got the goal in sight. Hallelujah. And so I want to talk a little bit today about love, relationship. I'll leave that football analogy to somebody who knows more about it. I don't understand why they keep running in the middle of that crowd and getting tackled, because they do that same thing over and over again.
Yeah, so.
I'm like, guys, that did not work the last five times. Why do we keep doing that? You know, but that's my understanding and my revelation of football. There you go. How many know sometimes in life we do the same things? We keep running into that same opponent. And we keep getting knocked back every time. Come on, you're going to have to find another strategy, right? Just throw the ball. No, right? Somebody will catch it. Hallelujah. So I want to talk a little bit about relationship. I want to talk about our relationships with one another. I want to talk about our marital relationships. I want to talk about our relationship with God. How many know there is power in love? I mean, you will do some crazy things when you're in love, right? Thank you, baby. You will do some crazy things in love. When Dan and I first started dating, I get to tell on him because I have the mic. When we first started dating, he bought me my first ring. We had a snowstorm on Christmas. He had a two-wheel drive, old green pickup truck. He, to this day, does not like to drive that hill with blacktop on it when it snows, but he was coming up that hill on that day in the snow because he had a ring for me in that. Come on, love will make you do crazy things. Him and I hardly talk on the phone, right? We don't talk on the phone. We talk at home. There's no reason to call each other on the phone. But when we were young and dating, we would talk on the phone for hours. I don't know how we found anything to talk about. I don't even know what we talked about, but it didn't matter because you were with each other, right? That was just that connection that was there. Hallelujah. And so what I want to tell you is love will make you do crazy things. Any of you ever do? You don't have to raise your hand. Ever do crazy things when you were in love? Come on. Thank you, Jason. Because when you're in love, it doesn't change, does it? Come on. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. The craziest thing you might say is yes, dear now, right? Back roads and ballets. But how many know when we're in love, it's not just all the warms and fuzzies. Come on, it's not all just the warms and fuzzies. Sometimes the greatest test of love is in the hardships. It's in the hard places. It's in the trenches. It's in those places of disagreement. It's in the everyday life of being in relationship. Amen? It's not always butterflies and roses. It's not always those things. But let me just go ahead and read some scripture before we preach. 1 John 4:7-21. Dear friends, dearly beloved, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because, say this with me, God is love. We got that right. God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I want to stop there and tell you that Christ died for you even while we were yet in sin. What? Say it again. Sin. Christ died for us. How is it that we think then that sin separates us from his love? While we were rascals, Christ died for us. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. It's punitive. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Did I say love enough times in that portion of scripture? How many know the bulk of what I want you to see out of that scripture is God is love. And perfect love casts out fear. Now, does that mean if you have fear, you're not in God? No. But it does mean we don't submit it to his perfect love. Full-time, agape, phileo, love, all the different kinds of love. God is love. God doesn't just love. He is love, right? God is love.
Yep.
So with that in mind, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, which is the love chapter. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will seek. Where there are tongues, they will be still. But where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. For I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. What fuels faith and hope is love. Now, I want to go back a little bit to back up in the scripture, and I don't know what verse I'm on, Lisa, because I have mine on here, but it's okay. I want to read it to you. Somebody say, God is love. So I want to read this scripture out of 1 Corinthians 13, and change it up just a little bit. God is love. The scripture says love is patient. So let's say it like this. God is patient. God is kind. God does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. He keeps no records of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God never fails. When we think of the scripture in that way, if God is love, then we see that if God keeps no account of evil, and we think God is up there with the chalkboard running tally marks on us, right? Ooh, that was a bad thought. Tally mark. Ooh, I said something in traffic I shouldn't have said. Tally mark. I was unkind to my neighbor. Tally mark. I screamed at the kids today. Tally mark. It does. And so we think sometimes that God is up there keeping account of our evil. But if God is love, he said, what manner of love is this that a man would lay down his life for his friends? I mean, Jesus gave his life that you could have life and have it more abundantly. Unfortunately, we live in a mindset that says God is angry, God is evil, God is out to get me, instead of living in a mindset that says God is patient, God is kind, God is, his love never fails, he doesn't keep accounts of your wrong, he's not up there accounting your sins against you, but what he says, as far as the east is from the west, I will remember your sins no more. Now, I'm going to give you a real key this morning. If you have asked for forgiveness of your sins, they are covered in the blood, and as far as the east is from the west, he remembers them no more. So all of those things that you want to bring back up, that you want to hold against yourself, the wish I would've, maybe I coulda, I shouldn't have, you need to let that be under the blood and say, Jesus forgives me of my sins, and I can live in his love and in his grace. Amen? That should be freeing for you. God is love. Love never fails. God never fails. Now, how do we have that kind of love? Who in here has that kind of love today? Thank goodness I'm not in the room by myself. Because there are times when our earthly love, amen, is challenged. How do we not live out of that earthly carnal love? We live by the grace of God that dwells in us, the Holy Spirit, his presence that dwells in us, that even when I want to walk outside of that kind of love, it checks me and brings me back in. Come on, somebody. Because when we walk out of here, we think our behaviors don't matter. How many know your behavior and how you respond in situations matters? And I'm going to talk some real practical things today because I'm the pastor and I have the mic, and I hope you still love me when we get done. Amen. And I'm getting old enough I can say it if I want to, right? That's what my mom used to say. She said, oh, I'm old enough I can say whatever I want to now. And people still love her. And she did. But how many know there are some practical things that I believe in, relationships and loves and things like that, and sometimes we don't talk about those things in church, and I don't know why, because that's where we need to talk about them. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I want to talk about relationship. Wherever you are in relationships, past, present, future, or looking forward to, I want to go to Ephesians 5 real quick, and then we're going to, I'm just going to tell you some things, and then we're going to go get lunch. How about that? See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How many know there is still a command to walk in the will of the Lord? To delight in the will of the Lord. What is his purpose for you? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Let me stop for just a moment. I was thinking something yesterday. This says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. How many know music changes an environment, right? Music changes an environment. And if you are sad and down the dumps, you probably don't want to listen to the blues, right? But I will say there are music out there that is not just worship music that can also encourage your heart. And I was thinking yesterday, I was just doing this, and I hope this makes sense to you, but how many know sometimes we quit dating when we get married? We quit listening to love songs. We quit dancing. We quit doing the little silly things. And we become married, right? And then we become parents. And then sometimes everything gets put on the back burner because life just rolls right in on you, right? Now you got house payments, you got car payments, you got kids, you got relationships, you got jobs, you got all those kind of things. How many know when you were dating, you pushed a lot of those things out of the way, right? And you made room for a love song. It might be that you need to put a love song and have a nice little dinner together. Somebody say amen. Thank you, baby. You still need to go on a date. You still need to write love notes. If you can. I'm not telling you how to do your relationship, and maybe that's not how your relationship is. But what I'm saying is we sometimes have the most valuable treasure right before us, and we take it for granted. And sometimes those things slip away from us, and we realize, man, I should have invested as much in my relationship as I invest in my job or my bank account or my hobbies or whatever it is. Amen? We owe it to ourselves to spend quality time with each other. Amen? We owe it to ourselves to spend quality time with the Lord. Because out of our relationship with the Lord, a lot of times develops our relationships with each other. Yours does not quit comparing your relationship, your marriage, your connections with somebody else. Because that might not be you. Dan and I like Friday night Lowe's dates. Amen. We have gone on dates to Lowe's for years. On Friday nights, and he'll say, you want to go to Lowe's? I say, you buy me dinner? He'll say, yes, ma'am. I said, I'm with you. Because I like Lowe's as much as he does, right? And we can get in Lowe's and get in trouble because I can get all kinds of projects. But how many know it doesn't have to be a cruise ship every Friday night? But sometimes our best time is that ride in the truck for 40 minutes with nothing but just us talking and sharing maybe about our day or whatever, going to Lowe's, doing whatever we need to do there, and then maybe a dinner out. And look, I'm a cheap date. I can do Chick-fil-A. I can do Arby's. I really like me a Texas Roadhouse. And it's right beside Lowe's. So that's mostly a date night, right? Right. Or finding a treasure in the Goodwill. Yeah. Right, right. You might find a new pair of boots. You just never know what you might find in the Goodwill. Right? But it's that time together. But what I'm saying about, you know, the worship music is good, but there's also some times where you just need. Before I left school on Friday, we were joking around. One of the guys was going to play music Saturday night, and I said, well, do you have some love songs lined up? And he said, well, I'm working on some, you know, and I was trying to get some. And so we broke out into a chorus of I Will Always Love You by Dolly Parton, right? And so we're just carrying on. But how many know sometimes we forget those songs? And so what I'm saying to you is sometimes you got to make room. You got to make time. Wives, now y'all, I'm going to get some amens here in a minute. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Amen. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject to their husbands in everything. Husbands, now I'm going to get some more amens. Husbands, love your wives. Come on, girls, that was your cue. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Because people for ages are still trying to figure that one out. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Can everybody say amen? Now, we've been taught for years that the Lord is coming back for a church that's without spot or wrinkle or any such blemish. Ever heard that? That's not what the word says. You just read it with me. The scripture says he presents her to himself. He makes her ready. Let me see it. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. How many know he's doing the sanctifying, the cleansing, with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. How many know the scripture says that he is doing the work, that he presents the bride to himself. I hear a lot of people down the church and the gathering and the community of church and the coming together. You don't need to go to church to be saved, and church is full of hypocrites, and everybody has an opinion. How many know you're talking about the bride that the Father loves? Yeah. He said, you are my bride, and I gave myself for you, and I have presented you to myself, and I have made you ready without spot or blemish. How many know in Song of Solomon, when he begins to describe his bride, when the king starts to describe his bride, he said, you are altogether lovely and there is no spot in you. She starts out by saying, I am dark as the curtains of Kedar because the sun has shone on me. I've kept everybody else's vineyard, but my own vineyard I have not kept. What she's saying is, I'm not a palace girl. I'm a slave girl that's been working in the fields. I don't have the lily white complexion. Why would you look upon me? And he starts to say, you are altogether lovely, my love. There is no spot in you. Your teeth are like shorn sheep. What a lover boy he is. How many shorn sheep were quite valuable back then? Yeah. And he does the Song of Solomon, and he describes his bride about how precious and how beautiful she is. And how many know by the end of the story, she starts to believe that she really is who he says that she is. I want to tell you today, you might see spots, you might see blemishes, but I want to tell you, he is making you ready. He sees no spot in you because he has given himself to cover every failure, every spot, every sin, and every blemish that you think that you have, so that he might present you to himself. Hallelujah. His bride and his beloved. Hallelujah. How many know you got to build momentum in relationships? Love gains momentum. Fights gain momentum. Anger gains momentum. How do we minister to each other? We want to minister to the world. We want to save the world, but we forget that the ministry inside the four walls of our house is just as important. How you minister to your kids, how you minister to your husband and to your wife matters. Amen? And we can let a whole other thing, a lot of things creep in and forget that that's a ministry as well. I always say to my husband, and I don't want you to get offended by this, but I say, honey, you look sexy in that apron. You look sexy holding our babies. You look sexy being the man of the house, cooking a meal, taking out the trash. How many know it's not all the flattery and the hoopla and the bells and whistles? Sometimes it's just being who you need to be in the house. Amen? Most of the time, it's not the gifts that we need. It's the connection that we need. We can work together doing things. When you're holding your baby, you're ministering in your house. When you are cooking a meal, you are ministering in your house. When my daughter and son-in-law were up not too long ago, they wanted to take their dad out to the movie. So Morgan took me and Dan and her out to the movie, and Dave stayed home and kept their boys because they didn't want to go to the movies. It was too late. And Dan said to him something. We come back. He said, "You know, Dave, thanks for keeping the boys and letting us go do that. Thanks for babysitting the boys and letting us go do that." He said, "I didn't babysit. I parented. Those are my boys." And that spoke volumes to me. I wasn't staying home and babysitting my kids. I was raising my boys. It is a back and forth ministry. And that spoke to me. That spoke volumes to me. I was like, you know, you're right. They're just as much yours. And so we minister to each other. Those things are powerful. They're precious. You don't need diamonds all the time. Sometimes you just need the connection. And I just want to read through a few of these things. I know I'm running out of time, but how many know those are some things that we can minister in our house? My husband will wash dishes or cook a meal or do those kind of things. But on the flip side of that, I must say that word again, he thinks my tractor's sexy. I like to mow grass. But I'm not up for rent. He doesn't necessarily like to mow grass, and he'll do the push mowing, and he'll do the weeding. But I really don't mind getting on my lawnmower and mowing the grass. And that helps him. That ministers to him. Amen? I know how to chop wood. I know how to take out the garbage if it needs to be. What I'm saying is we can get stuck on this is my job and this is her job, and if you'd have done this, I'd have done this, when it's really if we'll just jump in together and do what we've been called to do in a relationship with the house, because the only time, most of the time, you're going to get through marriage, parenthood, children, things like that, is if we can work together. Amen? It's also the thing among us. When we work together amongst ourselves, you take the load off of somebody else, and then we all can minister. Yeah. Hallelujah. A culture of honor. What can I take off your shoulders? What can I do to make mornings easier? Little things make a difference. How many know there's a progression even in love? There's smitten love. There's fallen love. How many know you just don't fall in love? You build love. Puppy love, sexual love, marriage love, parental love, and forever love. Some of the things that disrupt our relationships the most, wherever they might be, money, attitude, anger, disrespect, unable to give or show affection. I hear people say all the time, "I didn't grow up that way. I didn't grow up in a family that was affectionate. I didn't grow up where people said, I love you. I didn't grow up that way." And we use that sometimes as a crutch on how we respond. But I just want to tell you today, you're not married to your parents. You may not have grown up that way, but you can establish that in your home. You can establish those things. What is it? To say I love you in West Virginia is to watch out for the deer on your way home. You know, that's how we say I love you, right? Watch out. Be careful. Drive safe. How you treat your spouse is what you model to your kids, that it's okay to be treated that way. How you treat your spouse in public, it's still okay to open her door. It's okay to tell her she's beautiful. My husband says to me all the time, "Honey, if you'll just slow down, I'll open the door for you." Because I walk faster than he does. He's like, my knee hurts. If you just let me get to the door, I'll open the door for you. But you got to slow down. Tell her she's beautiful. Date nights are important. Let it go. I could break out in song and sing that to you. Let it go. Let it go. Because there's things that we hold on to and we keep dragging with us that we need to let it go, leave it in the past, and move forward. Don't fight over yesterday's offenses. Usually one of you are sugar and one of you are spice. And I'll leave that up to you to decide which one is which. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Work it out. Don't carry the offenses. Don't carry the hurt. It's okay to say, "I'm hurt. You hurt my feelings." You know, when you talk like that, what you said, talk it out. Communication is the key. Pray for for your mate, your spouse. Pray for your future mate. And quit coercing the single people into thinking they got to be married to have a fulfilled life. Amen. Leave them be. Amen? You don't need somebody to complete you. You are complete. If you find the mate that the Lord sends you that compliments you, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We deal with unmet expectations. Talk it out. Communication is key. Accusation. When we start out a sentence that says, you always, you can pretty much figure there's a fight going to ensue. After that. Sometimes tone is everything. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. You can say something in correction that when you say it in the right way, it can be fine. But when it comes across in that tone, you can pretty much ensue there's going to be words after that one too. You can critique without being critical. You can critique without being critical. Tone is everything. We're bone of bone. I'm losing them. Y'all got some stuff to go home and talk about. I hope you're taking notes. Remember that it is on live stream, and you can go back and watch the reel over and over. Kids, watch how you resolve conflict. And this is a big one, guys. Put down your phone and turn off the TV. Amen. When you have a serious conversation, put the technology down. Be in the moment, whether it's in your relationship with your kids or whatever. Put it down or turn it off and make room. You don't need money to go on a date. You can take a walk. You can do the simple things. It's not about where you go. It's not, you can go on a date. You can walk through the woods. You can go down to the park. You can go stroll around the mall, but just be together. That's what a date is. Stop comparing your marriage to another. Stop talking about or downing your spouse. Pray the prayer, search my heart, O Lord. There is life after divorce. There's life after failure. Abigail was married to a man named Nabal. His name literally means fool. She was in covenant with foolishness. And because of that, there was an attack coming on her house by David and his men. And her men told her what was about to happen. And she said, saddle up my horse or my donkey, whatever it was. Get provisions, because I'm going to go to the king. How many know there's sometimes where you have got to disconnect from being in covenant with foolishness that will literally cost you your family and your relationships and things like that? Toxic relationships are a real thing. I believe you fight for everything you got. Hear me. How many know in this situation she went to the king? Her husband died because of it, and she found a relationship with the king. And that is the most important thing in our relation. When we find a relationship with the king, we'll find a relationship that works laterally, horizontally, as well as vertically. And as I said before, if you are single and you are looking for a mate, don't settle. Don't settle short of who you are. Know your value, know your worth. Your time is not running out. Your clock is not ticking. God has for you what he desires, and it's okay to wait for that. Yeah. I hope that you've been able to laugh with me. I hope you've been able to listen to me, but I hope that I've said something that will encourage you to understand the value and the purpose. God spoke in the beginning in Genesis and said, and man shall leave father and mother and take unto a wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That he took a rib from the side of Adam so that she could be his helpmate. He didn't take a bone from his feet so she could be walked on. He didn't take one from his head so he could rule over her. He took one from the side so they could walk together. When two are joined together, and we submit that to the Lord, wherever you are in that today, whether you've made mistakes, whether you've got past history, let it go. Stand to your feet with me this morning. I want you to just take a moment. You can join hands if you want to. You can come to the altar. We'd be glad to pray with you. But I just want you to pray those things that we read this morning. God, you are patient. You are kind. You don't hold things against us. You, God, is love, and love covers a multitude of sins. The power of love, hallelujah, setting the standard in our home, setting the standard in relationships, amen? Trusting God, wherever you are, on the good side or the bad side of relationship, God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. As best things this morning, if you want special prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. Or if you're in here and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior and you would like to receive Him today, we would love to pray with you. If you need healing, you need salvation, whether you're online, wherever you are, God is here. He is with you. He is available, and He loves you. Amen.